And welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. And as always, we have our usual chat with Tom Crawford, podcaster extraordinaire. And Tom is on the other end of our line this morning. We're going to talk Michigan football. Tom, we had kind of a sloppy first half against Indiana. The Wolverines came back and looked a little bit better in the second half and came up with their sixth victory of the season. What did you see from that game over the weekend?
Yeah, I think it was a lot better in the second half. You know, tied 10-10, and the pass rush was so good for Michigan in the second half that cost Indiana's offensive line coach's job. I mean, obviously there was other contributions to that. But, yeah, Michigan was significantly better in the second half. And there's a lot of factors that, you know, could have gone into that. I talked about that second road game, just like last year, the Nebraska game after the Wisconsin win, that vulnerability of that before a big game, the big game being Penn State this week, I'm sure we're going to talk about. But so I thought that was lingering out there. And then this Mike Hart situation, having a seizure, passing on the sidelines, right in front of his position group. I mean, that's startling to young people. It's startling to everybody, and really disturbing. And I'm sure that affected Michigan as well. And they reconnected emotionally. And I thought they played. I thought it was a good win. I thought they played very well. I thought it was a good win for Michigan. And now we find out what they're all about on Saturday.
Well, you know, everyone's talking about, Tom, the Penn State game. Penn State, I mean, I guess from the start of the season, their resume has slipped a little bit. I don't know that they could say they had a signature win yet this year. I mean, you can't use Auburn anymore. I don't know about. I really don't know what they're going to do this year again.
That's a really good point that you bring up, John. And I thought it too. I mean, Penn State's a unique team. They play to the level of their competition. I mean, they were tied with Central Michigan, who was having a struggling year, 14-14 late in the second, and Central turned the ball over four times, had two touchdowns called back. The 33-14 game. I mean, that's another example. And look what they did the following week, prior to this bye week, last week. Northwestern is one of the worst Northwestern teams that I can ever recall. They look like they don't want to be out there. And up at State College, that was a 17-7 game with Northwestern. So they truly do play the level of their competition. They're balanced. They're good at just about everything, but they're not great at anything. And so, it's a ranked team for Michigan. We finally got that. It's October 15th date that I've been talking about since August. Ask me about Michigan on October 15th or in the afternoon thereof after the game is over with. And so I think it's a credible opponent. But I agree with you. There's a lot of uncertainty about Penn State, just like people say there's a lot of uncertainty about Michigan.
Well, you talked about that Northwestern game. Penn State turned the ball over five times in that game. Is that an opportunity for Michigan's defense on Saturday?
Oh, I think so. I think Sean Clifford's a really smart quarterback. He's been there forever, and so I'm not sure if it's going to be easy to do that. But, yeah, enforcing fumbles, and the thing about Northwestern, they got a decent running game. Now, depending on freshmen, they have two freshman running backs. And Nicholas Singleton is the best one. He's the one that had the big breakout against Auburn. But like you said, an Auburn team, this coach is probably going to get fired coming up. So where's that quality win? And then, keep in mind, Purdue could have easily beaten Penn State in that opener at Ross-Ade Stadium. You remember that game.
35-31.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick apart all these games, but this kind of goes back to this whole thing about we don't really know what we have. You know, college football is a box of chocolates. I just read a stat that preseason poll in college football, 13 teams are ranked in the top 25. They're not ranked there now. So it's really hard to even decipher, now as well as obviously preseason, who's good and who's not. But each week we're learning a little bit more.
Blake Corum carrying the load again for Michigan, over 100 yards, and Can he continue to do this week in and week out? I guess Michigan's strategy is if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and continue on the way that you've been winning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 25 carries, it's been 20, you know, 30 carries, 29 carries, 25 carries. You know, he had 132 yards. Had one, you know, had a loss. You know, got thrown for a loss. Somebody missed a block. He's having a great year, no question about it. I thought the biggest takeaway, though, was the precision of J.J. McCarthy. I mean, he's the most pass-efficient quarterback in the entire country right now. He was 28 of 36 for 304 against IU and three touchdowns. Did have the pick. But I think this is an opportunity for him to go a little bit more vertical, like we were saying, especially in the middle third of the field between the hash marks. I'd like to see some deep balls down there and see how that goes, stretch that Penn State defense. So he'll be tested, and he'll be under the microscope on Saturday.
Well, the defense continues to play very, very well. It seems like a new player comes up and does the job every single week. We hear different names. If there's one bright spot on the Michigan team, it's the defense.
Yeah, and I don't know, there were seven sacks by seven different players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's balanced. That's a balanced defense. Michael Barrett led with tackles. Well, Michael Barrett, you know, I saw some vulnerabilities on him in coverages. I mean, you can start in Junior Colson last week. I mean, so there's some nerve-wracking moments with this defense. I think they're going to continue to get better. And Mazi Smith has been really, really consistent. And then obviously Mike Sandrastil, who might end up on the NFL on the defensive side of the field. Whoever thought that? I'm excited about the defense. I think there's a long way to go with that defense. And I didn't like how Indiana was moving the ball in that second quarter, pretty much at will, before Michigan made some adjustments, which is the mark of a good team. I thought that Jalen Harrell, that penalty, celebration penalty, was ridiculous. I mean, that was a huge play in that game. I mean, that, you know, Indiana, I don't think, would have scored a touchdown, because that would have killed that drive, stopped that drive. And I just don't – that rule just drives me crazy. Offensive guys can do the first down, you know, gesture. They can do all this. And Jalen Harrell was not doing the cut the throat. He was doing the wipe and the brow thing. I guess don't do anything. Go to your fellow teammates, give them a hug, and call that your post-tackle celebration.
Well, you know – I'm thinking the key to the game on Saturday is I just have to believe that Franklin is going to sell out to stop Corum. He's getting his yards, even though people know he's going to have the football. I mean, he's somewhere between 35 and 40% of the offensive plays. And he's still getting his yards. And I got to believe that Franklin says, if we can't stop him, we can't win.
Yeah, I think I think Penn State, I mean, you look historically for decades, and I don't care if it was in the, you know, the kind of the quirky, pass-happy, rich, you know, spread Rich Rod days. Everybody feels like the best way to stop Michigan is load up the box to some extent. Not maybe eight men in the box, but, you know, get your front seven focused on stopping the run and win the game that way. Michigan State always does that, always will stop the run to try to beat Michigan. And I agree. I think they're going to try to stop the run. I think that Trente Jones' injury at right tackle, who has been progressing every week, you hear all about him. And, Pat, you and I hear about him in the postgame. Harbaugh always sold that nugget out about Trente, you know, throws his name out. Now, supposedly a high ankle sprain, that's going to hurt Michigan, I think. And so, I mean, they got to be able, and I don't know if Carson Barnhart takes that slot, I'm not sure, but whatever the case may be, Michigan has got to get the offensive blocking going and be able to run the football and get balance. I think Michigan's got to prevent from turning the ball over and have balance between throwing and running the football.
The other thing, like you said, how does Michigan prepare for Penn State. We just got done talking about it, how, you know, they don't have, first of all, they don't have a signature win, and they don't have a margin win either. Like you said,
no.
They play to the level of their competition. Well, they're going to have to take it up quite a few notches on Saturday to do that job. I just think there's a lot of unknowns with them. I really don't know what to expect from them coming into this game offensively or defensively. I think it's going to be a lot of different looks that we haven't seen out of this club so far this season.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Penn, and I don't know, you know, to your point, I don't know if James Franklin has been, you know, playing it tight to the vest, focused on October 15th when they play Michigan. I don't know if that was part of the equation. It's not like Penn State was this, you know, preseason hype team. And they basically survive in advance, play the level. They manage their game. They have manageable wins. And they're a poised team, and they can turn you over. I mean, they can turn people over. There's no question about their defense is opportunistic. One thing about this Penn State team that is a luxury from the opponent's standpoint is that they've always had a dominant receiver for the last several years. They don't really have that this year. Seen a lot of kids in the NFL.
I was going to say the Dotson. They don't have the Dotson kid. They don't really have a playmaker to stretch the field.
Yeah, see, Dotson would stretch the field and came up big a couple. He was big. Even in the Penn State's loss to Michigan last year, he was significant. And every year he played against Michigan, that number five was a dagger in Michigan's secondary. So. Yeah, that's how you stretch a defense. Michigan's defense is getting better, like I said. And what they did to Indiana from a pass rush standpoint, no, I'm not really too familiar with Penn State's offensive line and in terms of have they been threatened with a significant pass rush, you know, where sacks are involved and quarterback rushes. I don't know. I'm going to find out on Saturday. But, I mean, that could be a big part of this game is how does Sean Clifford, even though he's a redshirt senior, like I said, been around forever, very mature young man or old man, how is he going to handle that rush? And I think Michigan, to your point, is going to bring it and try to create some quarterback pressures to really get him out of rhythm. Because when he gets in rhythm, when Sean Clifford gets in rhythm, he's really, really good.
All right, I've got one more item here. I've got a text from one of our cave dwellers about Cade McNamara. We really haven't heard an awful lot about how his progress is coming along from his injury, but there was a publication, the Saturday Tradition. I've never heard of this publication. They say that Cade McNamara is transferring when he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, these publications, it's amazing, all these platforms. And they do, some of them, a lot of them are credible, and I saw that, too. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking about since J.J. McCarthy was a senior. When he comes, he's just five-star. What's going to happen to Cade McNamara? And then Cade had that really good season last year, but we knew that J.J. in those moments where he would come in would wow everybody with his sheer athleticism. I assume that might be the case. I might do the same thing if I was him. If you're hurt, go on the mend, you got a couple more years of eligibility, go for that. And the portal is so easy. And I know the fact there's a quarterback out there that's been in the college football playoff, out of the 130 teams out there, someone's going to, lap that one up and jump at him. So, there'll be plenty of opportunities. But back to the guy that took his place, J.J. McCarthy, another key win I wanted to mention this is that I think he's going to have to use his legs with might be a little bit more diciness and keeping him healthy if that's how it's been conservative. But on that repass option where J.J. can run the ball, that is really going to mess up Penn State's defense if that comes into the equation between that and Blake Corum, where those linebackers got to freeze their feet there to find out who's got the ball. That could be huge for Michigan.
it was interesting also to see that Alex Orji got in the ball game for a play or two.
Yeah, is he, I can't believe that.
Is he the backup now?
Alan Bowen, probably. I'm not worried about that. Like I said, I've said this all along. Quarterback is still, even without Cade McNamara, is still a position of strength. I truly believe that. But, yeah, that was interesting that he got in there. Maybe he's the situational quarterback this year moving forward.
Okay, we're running a little short on time. I just want to – two things. Have you heard about the gigantic Big Ten recruiting battle between Kirk Ferentz and Brett Bielema for the best field goal kicker in the country?
No, is that a joke?
Yeah. I poke fun, but, you know, I have to give Bielema some credit. He's bringing Illinois back. And with
when you hire a solid defensive coordinator, you know, if you have, you know, but they lost their quarterback, and I don't know if he's hurt, how bad that hit. But watch out with Illinois hosting. I think they've hosted Purdue this week. Purdue can beat anybody on the road, lose to anybody at home. They're a weird team, and watch out for that. But I love this Illinois team. I think they've done some great things, and he's done a great job with that program.
Okay, what's your prediction for Saturday?
I got 31-20, Michigan. 24-20 late. Michigan adds a touchdown late to extend it. We can breathe a little bit easy in the last four-minute mark. That's my prediction.
All right, I'm going 34-14.
Wow, that would be nice. Relaxing. How about you, Pat?
I'm going to go 27-0.
Wow.
I like the defense.
I thought Sherry was going to come up.
You're tongue in cheek or what? You really believe that? Okay, I'm going to hold you to that word.
For a minute there, I thought he was going to go 29-0. He likes Belichick so much.
We are out of time. We're not talking about the Lions.
Yeah, I know. Let's don't do that.
Tom, thank you very much again for being with us, and we'll see you on Saturday in the box, and go Blue.
All right, go Blue. We'll talk to you next week, guys.
All right, Tom Crawford, podcaster extraordinaire with us this morning on Inside the Cave. We'll be back with more after these words.